Welcome to the Robert J. Morgan Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you believe and cherish the Bible and to learn and love Christian history and hymnody. I'm Jared Brummett, audio engineer and editor, introducing your host, Robert J. Morgan. This episode is a message that Rob delivered at World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. As always, we'd like to invite you to visit robertjmorgan.com, where you'll find Rob's blog post, podcast feed, bookstore, free resources, and more. If you've not already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Now, here's your host, Robert J. Morgan.
You see, Isaiah is reacquainting them with their God. And then he says, and I really love this, before him, the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, less than nothing. So we've all been rightly upset with Vladimir Putin. And he, you know, Navalny is dead and Ukraine is being invaded and there's oligarchs with billions of dollars and there's nothing but corruption and the church is being persecuted in Russia. And we think that Vladimir Putin, he is one of history's greatest villains, and there's Kim Jong-un in North Korea and there's the Ayatollah in Iran and all of these bad actors. And then, of course, Xi Jinping in China. And we think, oh, America has never faced such threats before, but those tyrants are as nothing in the eyes of God. They aren't going to last very long. Their empires are only momentary, and the Lord is the one who's reigning over the earth. That's what he is saying here. To what then will you compare God, or what image will you liken him to? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains to it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. He says, just imagine here are two people and one is very wealthy and they have all of this gold and silver and they make a wonderful, beautiful idol. And here is a person, and he doesn't have anything, but he finds some wood, and he makes an idol. And you are comparing those idols with God? There's no idol that can compare with him. Israel, here is your God. Don't worry about all of the idolatry around you. Turn away from it. And there's so much idolatry in our world. It may be a desire for fame or a desire for money or greed. It may be, I was talking to a man this week and makes a lot of money. And I said, you know, what's it like to make that much money? He says, I don't care about how much money I make. It's how much I keep that worries me. And he says, I just try to get out of my account as fast as I can and give it away. Well, there's a lot of greed in the world because money becomes an idol. Sex becomes an idol. And A.W. Tozer said that we tend by a secret law of the soul to become like whatever our concept of God is. If your concept of God is these things, you'll be becoming like that. But Israel, here is your God. I want to show you the one who is a shepherd, who will care for you and carry you in his arms, but who sits above the vault of the earth and who is omniscient and before whom the rulers of the world are as nothing and who knows the beginning from the end. You've got to become reacquainted with your God. That's Isaiah chapter 40. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And the circle of the earth here apparently represented the horizon. Because when you're in the right place and you look out at the horizon, you can see the arc of it. And the Lord sits above all of that. He is enthroned. Now, one of the things I'm eager to see when I get to heaven is that throne. It must be beyond anything that we can ever imagine. It was sort of prefigured a little bit in the throne that's described that Solomon sat on, but it's a very pale imitation. When the Israelites, the elders went up in Exodus 24 on Mount Sinai, they looked up and they saw the platform on which the throne of God was. And then Isaiah in chapter 6 described, oh, he saw the throne and the Lord sitting on it high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and the seraphim were surrounding the throne and singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. And then Ezekiel saw the throne in chapter 1, and John saw the throne of God in Revelation 4 and 5 and Revelation 22. And the throne of God hasn't gone anywhere. It is hovering up there above the vault of the earth over our heads, and your God is still in control of everything. See, here is your God, O Israel. He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Here, God compares human beings to grasshoppers. I've seen a few old men that remind me I shouldn't go there. But all bent up and angular. Well, to the Lord, all of the teeming, I mean, he's not saying here that we're grasshoppers or that we are lowlifes. He's just saying that compared to the greatness of God, all of the teeming multitudes of the earth are in a way sort of like insects. And the Lord Jesus became an insect to live among us. That's the incredible thing. So all of the earth is like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Here Isaiah again looks up to astronomy, to the vast stars in the sky. We can't see them so well anymore because of all of the lights, the artificial light that washes them out. But you get alone in a quiet, dark place, miles from, you know, you're out camping or something, and you look and you see the stars. And to the Lord, he spread all of that out there the way we'd pitch a tent. Now, I'm not very good at pitching a tent. I think the Lord probably handled the heavens easier than I handle a tent. I have stories about it, but I'm not going to tell you. But to the Lord, it was just like throwing a tent up to be over our heads and to bless us. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Now, that includes Putin and Xi Jinping and the Ayatollah Khomeini and all of the rest of them, but it also includes Biden and Trump and everybody else. The people think they are so powerful when they get in these positions of authority that they are the ones controlling everything, and they don't realize they are controlling very too little, and that they are operating under the providential oversight of the throne of heaven. No sooner are they planted, referring to these princes and rulers, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows over them and they wither, and the whirlwind sweeps them away like the chaff. He's picking up imagery here from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on the word day and night. They'll be like trees, not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. So you see all of these powerful figures in American politics and international geopolitical diplomacy and maneuverings, and all of the despots and all of these people who they think they're so powerful. They have scratched their way to the top. They want dominance. They think they're here forever, and they're only a heartbeat away from facing God in eternity. And all the Lord has to do is blow the wind, and they're gone like chaff. But not the Lord. Nothing is moving him. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look at the heavens. Who created all of these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name? Every star in the whole universe, the galaxies, or wherever it is that the stars go for their infinite length, they all are named by God. He has a name for every one of them, and he knows every one of those stars. He takes great delight in them, and he calls them forth by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Not a star flickers but what he knows about it. So why is it that you think he might have forgotten about you? Why do you say, complain, O Jacob, and why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My way is disregarded by my God. These people were so discouraged. Been sitting here in Babylon, wanting to go to Jerusalem. No way, it was under dictatorial control by the Babylonians, then by the Persians. And what were they going to do? But the Lord had a plan. And he didn't want them to sit there discouraged. He wanted them to see, here is your God. He wanted to awaken within them the awareness of how great their God was before he took them back to the land, so that they would know when they got there who was doing it. And the Lord, you know, we all have problems. The Lord wants to, he wants you to see him before your problem is over, so that when the problem, you come out of it, you'll know who led you out of it. So this is the theme. Here is your God. And then he says, do you not know, again, in verse 28, have you not heard the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth? He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. So if you're weary, congratulations. You are in a very good place, because he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, or wait upon the Lord, the ones who look to him with faith, knowing that he is in control and he's going to take care of every detail of your life, they will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. Now, this is a very interesting figure, a metaphor. Isaiah here had seen the soaring birds. You know, some birds, when they fly, they flap their wings. Every morning when I have my devotions, I have a little desk, and it's in front of a window, and right outside the window, I have a bird feeder. So I'll watch the birds come. I've got a couple of little woodpeckers that I especially like, and they'll come and eat. But they just flap around. You know, it takes a lot of energy for them to travel through the air, because they are flappers. Well, we shouldn't be flappers. Do we have any flappers here today? We should be soarers. Because the other kinds of birds, they don't flap their wings. There are these things in the weather, meteorology, called thermals. And I've just, in preparation for this message, I looked them up. And hang gliders, if we have any hang gliders in here, but discovering where the thermals are is a big art of hang gliding. Well, the birds know that too. A thermal is a column of hot air that is rising up. You can't see it with your eyes, but that column is rising up like an elevator going up. And so a bird, a hawk, or a soaring bird like an eagle, they will fly around, find that thermal, spread out their wings, and it just carries them up like an elevator. And they get to the 34th or 55th or 102nd floor, whatever they want, and they just get off, and then they soar wherever they want to, and then when they want to go up again, they just find that thermal and they go up. I read that that is one of the things that causes airline turbulence. Now, none of us like turbulence, and it used to scare me a lot, but then I read somewhere that no passenger plane has ever been known to crash because of turbulence. I don't know if that's true, but I read it. So after that, I didn't worry. But these powerful jets going up, these thermals, are an extraordinary creation of God for the sake of these soaring birds. So an eagle would just spread out his wings, find this column of air going up, and it will lift him up, and he will renew his strength and just sail from there. So the columns in Scripture, the thermals, are called promises. So when we go through some rough weather, we find a promise, and it's going upward towards heaven, pointing upwards towards the throne, and we stretch out the wings of faith, and it lifts us up higher and higher, and we soar on wings like eagles. That's the picture that Isaiah gives us. And it's one of the most beautiful pictures, isn't it? and the Bible. It is the picture of how we trust the Lord. I read a book the other day. It was very interesting about a chaplain. His name is Carrie Cash, and he was a chaplain during Operation Iraqi Freedom. He said that he was a military brat. He grew up, his father was a pilot in Vietnam. He grew up all over the world. He knew as a young man he wanted to go into the military. He grew up in a Christian family. He went to the Citadel, graduated, he was on the verge of becoming a pilot with the Air Force. And all of a sudden, they discovered a brain tumor. And he was just newly married when they discovered it. And for about a year, he was under this awful oppression of knowing that he had an inoperable brain tumor. But he said, through this, I rededicated myself to the Lord. And whenever I would get discouraged or wonder, what is the Lord doing, or does he even know what's happening? He said, I would find a promise and just hold on to it. And he said, the greatest promise that he gave me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And he just put out his wings of faith, and instead of focusing on his tumor or his threat or his health or his future, he just focused on the Lord. Here is your God, O Israel. It lifted him up. And finally, someone recommended to him that he see one of the greatest neurosurgeons in America. I forget the man's name, but he went there, and the man examined him and did some tests and said, you know, I've seen a lot of people with tumors like this. He said, it really may not ever amount to anything, and there's nothing we can do about it anyway. And most people with this live an ordinary life with recommended longevity. And he said, there's no reason you can't serve in the military. Have you ever thought about being a chaplain? And God led him to be a chaplain, and he was a chaplain embedded with the Marines who went into Iraqi Freedom, and the stories he told of his ministering to those young men in the midst of battle, they just made me weep. But that was a man who discovered that sometimes you just have to put out your wings of faith and let the thermals of God's promises lift you upward. And you will renew your strength, and you'll walk and not be weary, and you'll run and not be faint. The Lord will give you the strength to do whatever it is he calls you to do, or to bear whatever burden he allows you to bear. But you've got to keep your eyes on him. Here is your God. Now let me end just for a word for anyone who's watching online or in this room, and you don't know if this God is your God. I said earlier that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ, who was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and by that he means you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you just have to come to Jesus and say, I've had other things distracting me in my life, but it's time for me to get serious and serve God and follow Jesus Christ. I confess my sins. I want to receive him as Savior. And wherever you are in this room tonight or in some of the other arenas, you can do that this evening. And if you're watching online, you can just say, dear Lord, as best I know how, I want to ask the Lord Jesus Christ now to be my Savior. I confess my sins to you. Come into my life. And then if you'll get in touch with us here at World Outreach Church, we will help you to grow wherever you are in the world. But that's the most important decision. Once you do that, then all of Isaiah 40, it's yours. So, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? The Lord Jehovah is the everlasting God. Amen. He rules to the ends of the earth, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young men grow tired and weary, stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord and who trust in him, they mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Will you stand as we close out our time with prayer, with a benediction? And now, dear Lord, we pray for anyone who is watching or listening to Isaiah 40 through the means of our service tonight, that they would say, "Here is my God," and that they would see you and know how near and dear and powerful and omniscient and omnipotent and glorious you are, and how you care for us and comfort us and renew our strength. So may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you both now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for digging into the riches of the Bible with me. This episode was produced by Joshua Rowe and the marketing company Clearly Media. Audio editing and engineering is done by Jared Brummett. Editorial supervision is by Sherry Anderson. And Luke Tyler takes each of these episodes, condenses them, adds an opening outline, and posts them as blogs on my website at robertjmorgan.com, where you can find many other resources. Music is by Jordan Davis. Thank you for tuning in, and may God be with you until we meet again.